here we go. I am so excited to be talking with Jenny Bond. Jenny has her 1,000 Hours Outside shirt on, which is the sweetest. So cute. I love that. And you have such a unique situation because of your career path. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and where you're from?
Okay, so I'm Jenny. Hi, everybody. And I have a child named Zachary. He's 7 years old. He just turned 7, and a husband named Nate. Nate's a pro disc golfer and also
Wait, what?
So he's older, so he's not like a touring professional or anything, but he's a disc golfer. So Charlotte's a great place for disc golf. So we will have gone outside with him. We hike along and he'll play disc golf and we'll hike. So that's a really cool thing that he loves to do. He also loves to, he's just started bowling, which he loves to do. Mm-hmm. And so then there's me, and I love hiking. I used to run. I don't really run anymore because of some birth stuff that happened, but I've always just loved being outside. And then we have our little 7-year-old Zachary. He loves to be outside too. And part of like 1,000 Hours has really helped me like encourage him to be outside. And now he goes and does it himself, he's like, I just got to go outside, Mom. I'm like, oh, thanks. Go for it. So we live in Indian Trail, which is about 30 minutes south of Charlotte. And then I work at Wingate University, which is about an hour south of Charlotte. And we have a lot of really beautiful nature preserves around here. So basically within about 30 to 45 minutes, you've got a really nice place to hike, go spend time outside, which has really been wonderful. Oh, we have a dog named Carrie. He is a Labrador. He's about 80 pounds. He's, you know, this big old guy. Uh-huh. Am I answering your questions? I think I am.
Sure are. Okay, there's a couple really unique things we're going to talk about. Yes. We're going to talk about your college experience and this degree you have and what you're doing with your students. I'd love to know what options are out there for degrees and types of things. We're talking about pelvic floor dysfunction, which we've never talked about before on the show.
Let's talk about that.
Let's start with your day-to-day. You work full-time.
Yes.
Your husband works full-time. Mm-hmm. Your son goes to public school.
Yes.
And you are having to, as Ainsley Arment says, you are having to relentlessly defend your family culture.
Yes, we do that. That's very true. So I work full-time. I'm a professor in exercise science. And so I work with, I teach mainly like sophomores, juniors, and seniors, right? So that kind of age group, like 19 to 22, we have like 26, 27-year-olds and older students that are older than that as well. And I'm in exercise science, which is a very active field. And I'm a very active person. And then, my husband works full time too. And we work, we are both up at 4 in the morning. He leaves for work by 4:30. I'm then getting Zachary to school, off to school by 7:45, usually 8, drop him off. And then I come over here to work. And I, teach my class in the morning, and then I work and I work, work, work. And then around 2:15, I leave and I go snatch him up from school. And then I bring him home, and we've done some sports, like some soccer and some baseball. We're doing Boy Scouts right now. So we have things to do in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And then we also on the week. So day to day, that's kind of a day, wake up, everybody's up, do whatever we can, try to get outside for a little bit of, I get myself outside for my little bit of morning sunshine that I learned about on your podcast. And I was trying to get Zachary out for walks early in the morning. But then one day it was 5:45 and he's sitting at the breakfast table, eating his breakfast. And he's starts to cry. And I'm like, what's wrong? He's my cheeks are too tired to chew. So he wasn't getting enough sleep. So let's switch this a little bit. I'll go outside. You just relax and eat your breakfast. So, we go to school. He's at school. I'm at work. And then we come home. And then we got to try to get that outside time in. Mm-hmm. During the week, and then the weekends we definitely go hiking or just play outside, go back in the backyard. We have this backyard. It's not huge, but it's a decent size, and it's filled with all kinds of toys and it's not nice. It's very nice, but it's not tidy at all. It's very nice. Mm-hmm. And, I found there's all kinds of things that it's really fun. I'm sure all the working and parents who work in and out of the home find this, there's all these things that come in to get your time. There'd be a meeting from 3:30 to 5 that you have to go to.
Right.
Right. And but I was going to go for a hike this day, or, the kind of norm culture where it's you're going to work 9 to 5 every day and then get home, eat dinner, watch TV, go to sleep. And well, if you're trying to get that outside time or even get that family time, that makes it really difficult. So we have to make a lot of decisions. I've been fortunate to be able to kind of move my work schedule around a bit so I can leave in the afternoons to get Zachary, and then but sometimes it won't be for a hike. Most of the time is we're going to go home and I'm going to take my computer outside and I have a little podium and I'll work on my computer, and we have to go play outside, Zachary. It's what we're going to do now. And a lot of times sometimes we watch TV, and we'll do that, and then we're back inside, we make some dinner, do all those things, and then off to bed at night. And Yeah, it's a little stressful sometimes to do that, but it's genuinely, it's been so, like, listening to your podcast and trying to do the challenge and trying to, like, kind of log hours sometimes, and sometimes just kind of going with the flow, mm-hmm. you know, kind of learning all the, like, the knowing how good it is to be outside and how important it is for Zachary to be outside and for us too as grownups. Like, that has really helped me to say, you know, like, he was homesick yesterday, had like a little flu sick. We thought it was just an upset tummy. It turns out to be the flu. So I brought him to work with me in the morning and I taught while he kind of hung out. And then we went home and he wants lunch and I want lunch. And it's like, okay, well, the norm would have been just to, well, let's make lunch to the table, eat your lunch, and you can watch some TV while I work, right? And that's mm-hmm. how we're going to get through the day. But instead, I was like, well, let's go have a picnic outside. And we already had our lunches packed. So it was not a fancy picnic. We don't have a nice picnic blanket or table. We brought like our little cheap beach chairs into the porch and just walked our food out and like protected it from the dog. And he's chewed up all the lawn furniture and it's messy and whatever. And we're like, you know, kind of keeping him away. He's trying to steal the food. He's like chasing a lizard. So we ate our lunch outside. And then I had my computer and we just brought, Zach has this little like whiteboard that he loves to draw on inside. I said, well, let's just bring that outside. And you can draw outside. And we were out there for like 2.5 or 3 hours just doing what we would have done. And I would have never thought to do that until like listening to the podcast and how people are just creative and find all these different ways to mm-hmm. kind of squeeze that outside time in when you normally wouldn't maybe do that. And like then this morning, you know, I had a little time in the morning. So like I just went outside my computer and did like 20 minutes of like grading or emails or something out instead of in. So it's like mm-hmm. just trying to take those inside things outside. And, you know, sometimes, you know, other like parents or like relatives will be like, well, it's really cold, so we can't go outside, but it's only 50 degrees or it's only 40 degrees. So let's go outside. It's okay. Zachary doesn't want to wear his pants. That's fine. He doesn't. Maybe he'll wear the same clothes. We're going to go out and we're going to kind of see what happens. So I may be rambling, but
I think this is it. It's like life is full and chaotic and frenzied. Mm-hmm. And there's so many parts of our time that we cannot control. It's just, that's just how life is. We've got these obligations and jobs and things like that. And so what you're doing is you're making it work within mm-hmm. that framework. And I think that's so encouraging. And even you had talked about, there's a lot of pressure for the tablets because he's mm-hmm. 7, you know, so how are you dealing with tablets and homework?
I know everybody keeps trying to give them, and it's bless everyone's heart because like, oh, he wants, like, we can play these cool games. Like his grandma, both of his grandmas have tablets he wants to play games on. So somebody has a tablet at home. Does Zachary want a tablet? Or do you want this or that? And like, we have this little Christmas list we share. And I'm always like, please no tablets or video games or anything. Like, just don't, because this, I know that the second they're in the house, I will never get them away. And when COVID started, he was home and I got him a tablet and he didn't really use it. And I couldn't figure out how to unlock the, it had some kind of like child security I put on it. I couldn't mm-hmm. get past it. And I couldn't figure out how to use it. So I just like hid it and I never used it again. It's like dusty somewhere. I know they use computers at school. Like they have their testing at school and that it is what it is. When we go to visit like grandparents, you can play. I set the timer, like you can play for 20 minutes on that game. And I set the timer and he plays the little game with his grandma's and it's still like, it's interactive. But mm-hmm. the timer goes off and then we just say, okay, that's it. And he's, you know, he doesn't want to put it down, but he does because he's 7 and he still can listen. Yeah. And we've been able to, we do have, like we watch TV in our house. That's definitely a thing that we do. Mm-hmm. But we've been able to avoid him using any kind of a tablet or a phone, or we don't have video games and we're like really holding, because I know that like that's the tipping point.
Well, that's the relentless. Right. That's the relentlessly defend. That's what you're doing. You're defending your family culture. And that's sort of what we have to do, because I loved your wording. You said everyone, and it was capitalized. Everyone keeps trying to give video games and these things. So people are, you know, we're just sort of being bombarded with it. Well-intentioned. I think people are loving, oh, we should get him. He likes mine. I'm going to get him one, or that type of thing. And so that's what you're doing, is you are defending, and you're defending every time you take your work outside instead of keeping it inside. You're defending your family culture. And I think those are excellent ideas and so inspiring, and will help people to understand, how can I work this into my really busy life that you have? And so I'm going to transition then to this topic that is not ever come up, but we're talking about it because people are going to want to know how to deal with it. So you had said you were talking about micro adventures. People loved Alistair Humphrey's micro adventures. Yes. And hiking was a big part for you early on. You liked hike and run, and pelvic floor dysfunction is something that a lot of moms deal with.
So many.
So give us help us. What do we do?
Sure. Okay. So I will. So I'm not an expert in this. I'm doing my very best to learn about it, though. I actually just enrolled in a little like 5-hour online course about pelvic floor and diastasis recti, which is where the abdominal muscles separate. I'm kind of starting my learning with that. And I'm also kind of working on getting that into my curriculum here. Because like just in case nobody knows what this is, it makes sense because so I have a degree in exercise science. I have a PhD in exercise science plus. Like there's the degree.
I love it. It's there. Yep.
And I did not even know what the pelvic floor was until I had a baby. I didn't know what myself, and I should know all the muscles. I teach anatomy, and I didn't know what was about to happen. So, Zachary is a normal sized child. He's tall and thin and everything, but he has this kind of big head, right? So when I gave birth vaginally, so no C-section, although I could have used one, I think. He kind of got stuck and I had to use four. So it's like with so many people. And at one point I looked down, I'm there, having the baby, and I look down and I see my OB, who's a small lady. She's got her foot up on the table and she's pulling with all her might to get this baby up. And I'm like, that is not what you just don't want to see that. I know you just don't want to see that. So fast forward to about 6 months later, I used to run and I did marathons and half marathons, all this really cool, fun stuff. And all my, a couple of my runner friends were having babies the same time I was, or a few months before, a couple months later. Mm-hmm. And, I had three good friends. They were all runners and they were all oh, I'm going for my first run today. 6 weeks after pregnancy, going for my run, or
yeah.
I'm training for this, or I'm training for that. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I was still feeling pretty bad, right? I was having bowel issues and I was peeing a lot. And just, I felt there's this sling that was moving way down when it was supposed to. I'd never even noticed it before. So I kind of go out for a run. I come back and I'm feeling very uncomfortable in my body. And so I can feel things are kind of coming out that should not be coming out. And so I'm like, that's bad. So I go to the doctor and they send me to a consult. And it turns out I have all kinds of prolapse, which you're really risk for when you have a large any kind of vaginal delivery, but especially forceps and other, there's lots of other things that put you at risk for that. But basically what had happened is that my pelvic floor muscles, so there's the muscles that they sit kind of in the bowl of your pelvis, they hold up your internal organs, your bladder, your uterus. Wow. Those are not held up by bones, they're held up by muscles, and muscles get damaged just like anything else can get damaged. And those muscles had been basically just really stretched out, for lack of a better term, and had never recovered. I didn't go to PT right after birth, although if I'd known then what I know now, I definitely would have. Mm-hmm. So for me, I tried to get back to running and I just couldn't. I went to a pelvic floor physical therapist that was 6 years ago and helped me with urinary incontinence. So I wasn't peeing on myself anymore. That was good. Far as I was still having GI symptoms. And every time I would try to start running, I'd start having these symptoms. So we started hiking with Zachary. And little 2-year-old hike. He's little. Mm-hmm. I'm going slow. The dog's kind of floating around. So that all was working really, really well. And we kind of kept hiking and always pretty good, but I've always still had discomfort, always had GI issues. So you can kind of fast forward to today. I found out that I may need some surgery. I may need to have some surgery, and I have a new pelvic floor physical therapist that I work with. And part of managing that pelvis floor dysfunction is if you think something is wrong, it was probably wrong, right? If I had known early on, I would have gotten myself to a PT and to a surgical consult early, but I didn't. So, you don't know.
Which they don't send you. And that's what's interesting. No. They should send you. They should know, anytime you had to have a forceps delivery, probably it's something to go get checked out. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. And it's very hard because you can't, their muscles just like every other muscle, but they're my PTs, so pelvic floor PTs are wonderful people because they have to be very up close and personal, right? It's when you go to a pelvic floor PT, they have to check out the muscles inside of your body, which is it's weird at first, but it's really, really worth it. So if anybody out there is, I feel like something's wrong. I can't do what I used to do, or I'm peeing a lot, or I'm having trouble going to the bathroom, or I'm having a lot of stomach pain, all that's related to the pelvic floor. And don't search out your answers on the internet. Don't let the Dr. Google tell you what to do, right? Go to an actual, you can go to your OB, get a PT referral, and find out because everybody's going to have a little something going on. But if you feel like something is wrong, something's probably wrong, number one. And there are lots of different levels and lots of things PTs can do to help you. But for me, also kind of accepting that was going on and then allowing myself to change what we were doing a little bit, because I knew that if I, at one point I was doing 5 mile hikes with Zachary, he's 4 or 5. I'm we're up and down a mountain. I'm carrying 3 liters of water and everybody's gear, and my dog's got extra food, and my dog's pulling me around. Well, none of that is good for your pelvic floor. It's a lot of weight, a lot of trouble. So I had to kind of realize that what I was doing, it was just too much for my body. And that didn't mean I didn't want to get Zachary outside. Didn't mean I didn't love Tiger. Like, I loved it, but it meant that I had to kind of figure out some other, what are some other mm-hmm. ways that we can go outside? What are some other things? What are some things that I can do to adapt that hiking or adapt the things we're doing so that I can still do them or do some kind of version of them? So mm-hmm. I took a little break from, I just was like, well, I'm just going to stop hiking. I'm just going to stop doing it for a while. This is like a few months ago while I'm going working with a PT, working on all this stuff. And we were like driving in the car and Zachary, who, you know, little kids, sometimes they'll kind of not want to go do what you want to do. So I was right. like, at one point, we were hiking like every day after school and both times on the weekends, and we're going to go. And he was like, I don't want, he's tired, he's bored. We're doing mm-hmm. the same thing every day. So, you know, we didn't stop spending time outside, but I stopped hiking for a while. Mm-hmm. And then one day, a few weeks ago, Zachary's like, you know, Mom, we never go hiking anymore. And I was like, you know, I know we haven't gone for a while. I was like, do you want to go? He's like, yeah, I want to go. Aww. I was like, I know. And I was like, oh, well, I have to find a way. I have to figure out something. Yeah. So I started looking into like ultralight backpacking. So I'm not going backpacking, but ultralight backpackers, they do a lot of things to save on weight. So they use these like very inexpensive thin water bottles. So I got these very thin water bottles. I got mm-hmm. Zachary a day pack, and now he's going to carry, he has a little water bladder and he carries his own jacket and his own snacks. And our dog now, I put a head halter on our dog so he can't pull me all over the place. And I found a hike that's like, it's about 2 miles. So we can go really slow. And I found that, and that's all been really successful. So kind of going, like kind of making, you know, you say 2 miles, that's not a big deal, or 1 mile or half, like that's mm-hmm. not a big deal. I should be able to do that. But your body might be telling you something like really different. So finding those kind of ways, like number one, finding a lot of ways that didn't involve hiking, that thing I really loved, but then also finding, you know, working with my PT, of course, she told me, no, what should I do? What should I avoid? And mm-hmm. and then I kind of put my own little mind to work around it. Okay, well, yeah, I'm not an ultralight hiker, obviously. I'm not, you know, going out for days at a time, but I still need things to be super lightweight. So can I look at what they're doing, and can I do it? So now, like, I have, they use like the smart water bottles, like you buy them at the store, mm-hmm. right? They reuse them. So I've got all these little plastic bottles around my, Nate's like, can I throw this out? I'm like, no, we need to keep it. Now he knows. He's like, no, she uses those for hiking now. And I took my giant first aid kit and I slimmed it down to like exactly what we need. And Zach carries some of his own stuff. And that's been, it has been successful. I'm like very excited. We were able to go last week and the week before. And yeah, so it's working.
Wow.
So,
you know, Jenny, that's so inspiring. Yeah. Well, there's so many barriers. I think you've gone through so many barriers to getting outside and making memories with our families, barriers of time. There's barriers mm-hmm. of physical barriers. And so you're just making it work in the way that you can make it work. And then you're affecting another generation because you take your college students outside.
I do try to do that. Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us just a little bit. We're going to run out of time, which is such a bummer. But real quick, though, I think before we just hopped on to be official here, you were talking about these different kind of degrees that people can get. And I think it's interesting for people to know what options are out there. And just real quick, like what you do, you get your kids outside, your students, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And so I teach exercise science, which is a degree that it's a 4-year degree. At least you can go to like physical therapy school with it or other types of like other professional schools, but you can also graduate and get a real like strength and conditioning or personal training or health and wellness. There's all kinds of doors that open for that. And then we also within our school have a community commercial recreation program. And that's a lot of like parks, recreation, group programming, getting people outside. So I'm really in a nice environment for that with a lot of students. And like in exercise science, for example, 50% of our students are athletes. They're under a lot of stress, but they're also very active. And in general, college students are under a lot of stress. Like they're under a lot of stress. We all are, right? But they really are. So across these different semesters, I've taken like different, because I'm like, well, if this is good for Zachary, who's 7, it's good for me, who's 44, 43, or whatever, 42, whatever age I was. Well, it's good for my students who are like 19, 20, 21, 22. And when you talk to them about it, like they love to hike, they love to go outside, but they don't have the time to do it. They're studying or they're in class or they're working or they're whatever. Yes. So there have been some semesters where I like give them the day off and your assignment is like, go outside for 30 minutes. You don't have to work out there. Don't take your phone. When you get back in, tell me what you did. What did you see? How do you feel? And that's been like, I have loved doing that in the past. And this semester, I started doing my office hours all outside. So
no way. That's so cool.
I wanted to show you, but in front of my building, we have these wonderful picnic tables and this big tree. And it's like shady. It's shady in the summer. It's cold in the winter, but you know, we can wear coats. And so I'll just be out. I have like a little post-it on the outside of my door that says, if it's nice outside, look at the picnic tables or something like that. And, I will just bring my computer out there and just, we do advising, we do scheduling. I answer questions about all the office hour stuff, except it's outside versus inside. So, you know, maybe they only meet me for 15, 20 minutes, but they're outside for that time. Sometimes it's really cold. There are bugs falling on me, like acorns falling on us from the tree, but it's just, it's nice. And I have like an hour, 2 hours every day, and I'll come back inside from that and then go to teach. And I'm doing the exact same thing I would be at my desk, but I'm outside and I feel so much better. And I feel like they've got to feel that too. You know, we're going to, you can easily talk to me outside versus inside. We can easily go outside to do this like activity, demonstration, assignment, whatever. So I try to find those, you know, last, like in years past, we've had projects going out, like kind of demonstrate exercise outside. This year it's been like this semester's been the outside office hours. And I feel like they really like that. You know, I think I'm in an active field, but even if I was in a less active field, you know, like everybody needs to go outside, and you have kids that are kind of heading towards college. And I look at these students and they're not kids, but they're not fully, they're kind of in the middle, and they're, you know, just trying to find ways to fit in the things that they need. Yeah. So if we can do something.
They're very busy. They're very busy. I always say, I mean, I can't, like, as soon as you're done with your schooling, like they're doing schooling and work and building relationships and sports. And it is a lot. It is more than the average adult life has, because we have dropped off that school piece. And so that's really neat that you're giving them these, even if they're small, these opportunities to get outside. If they need to meet with you, they get to sit at the picnic table. This has been so inspiring across the board for how to relentlessly defend your culture, your family culture, your school culture, you know, what you want to impart. And I think that people are going to get so much out of it. Jenny, I got to ask, a favorite outdoor childhood memory.
I should have been prepared. I knew you were going to ask this. Okay. So a favorite memory. So this is where the pretty music, I love that music because it always makes me cry. So when I was little, I always loved being outside. I always had lots of pets. I had like a pet rabbit and a dog, and I loved animals. And one memory that is, it's a little funny, but I think it's really sweet too. So I had this rabbit named Magic, and he was a little bunny. And I was determined that Magic would swim. And we had this lovely, there's like this little creek behind it. It was like this lake bed that had dried and turned into a creek. And I had a little harness for him and a long little bunny leash, and we'd go for like little bunny walks. He would jump in the creek and swim around. And I think about that little creek that was back there. And it wasn't like a fancy park. It wasn't any, you know, I stayed at overnight camps and did all kinds of cool stuff, but it was a real simple, it was a lake that had, you know, had been drained for a development. And there was a creek back there, and it had these huge rocks, and it had like snakes and salamanders. And I just remember going back there and just spending time back there, like near the creek with my rabbit, or sometimes he was at home. And you know, now when I take Zachary on hikes, he always loves the creeks, and he wants to go like play at the creek, spend time at the creek and look for crayfish and look for little animals. And every once in a while, I'm kind of like, let's go, Zachary, hurry up. But then I remember how much I loved it when I was little, and it kind of, it's just that lovely, that kind of
nostalgia connection. Yeah. Oh, you are just delightful. This has been absolutely delightful. Thank you so much. Like I said, people are going to get so much out of it. And I am so glad that we've connected. Hopefully we connect again soon.
I know. I would love to. Well, thank you, Jenny. Thank you so much. It's been so nice to meet you. And this is so exciting. So, and thanks everyone for listening too. It's really cool.
Thank you, Jenny. Thanks for wearing your shirt. That was like the cutest thing ever.
I love it.
Thank you.